read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, you've seen the overhead here before with the tree and all the fruits of the Spirit. But pretend this morning, for example, that you are preparing a fruit salad. Does anybody like fruit salad? Yeah, good. It's good for you. And you get all these fruit, and you get them all together, and you just make it so that you go, yum, yum, fruit salad. And, you know, you can do a lot of things with fruit salad. You can put a lot of different combinations together. But it's real tasty. And, you know, all these fruits, this fruit salad, in order to make it tasty, in order to make it wholesome, you've got to have different components. So I like grapes, I like lettuce, I like cheese. What else do you put on a fruit salad? Strawberry, right? Fruit, right? Bananas. Is banana a fruit? I think it is, right? Used to be. And all kinds of things, goodies you put on that fruit salad. You know, you can tell how many times I put one together. Cheese? All right. Well, how about applesauce? Come on, you guys, you Americans are different. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit. All right. You know, I'm not very good at giving illustrations, and I really flopped on that one. But the fruit of the Spirit, they're all listed for us here. All right? And we've studied them. And we're getting down to the end, and our fruit salad is almost looking like a fruit salad. It's becoming more complete. We have love, which is the first. And the Bible says, without love, we're nothing. The greatest of these is love, the Bible says. So love is at the very beginning. It seeks the highest good of others. And then we have joy. And that joy is the gladness that is not based on circumstances. No matter what's happening, no matter how the your world may be falling apart or coming together, you still have that joy in your heart. And it's a steadfast joy that nobody can take away from you. So there's love, there's joy, those two fruit of the Spirit. And then there's peace. And God's peace is a peace that passes all understanding because nobody can explain it. God gives it. That settles it. And it makes your Christian life and your life especially just wonderful. It's contentment. It's unity between people. All right, and then there's patience, and it's that kind of slow to speak and slow to anger patience. The kind of patience, you know, all right, the world is falling apart and people are getting mad at you and things are just not, don't look good. But there's just something about, you know, the fact that, you know, we're just kind of really understanding the fact that God has a purpose for it all. So we're slow to speak. We don't get hot under the collar. And, you know, we're slow to anger. Some people have a quick temper. Some don't. But God wants us to be people of patience. And then there's kindness. And I told you about this lady that was in my church. And her favorite saying was, let's just be kind to all. Be kind. Let's always be kind. And I think that's a wonderful characteristic to have. And goodness is what we looked at 2 weeks ago. Goodness. And we're talking about being generous and open-hearted. This morning, we want to talk about faithfulness. What that means, to be faithful. faithful. The Greek word for faithful is the word pistos, and it means devoted. It means dearly devoted. It means true and devoted. It means being constant. It means being loyal. It means implying qualities of stability and dependability and devotion. Steadfast fidelity. That's what we're talking about with faithfulness. So when we're faithful, we're shining God's light. We're making our light shine for the glory of Jesus Christ. We're making a difference in the world around us. We're telling people around us that because Jesus lives in me, because His Holy Spirit lives in me, I can exhibit this quality, this characteristic of faithfulness, to be a positive influence in my world, to be faithful. Well, we need to understand faithfulness. The very basis of it is the fact that God is faithful to us. Can you imagine if God were not faithful? If God were not faithful to the claims of His Word? If God were to make a promise and then He were to renege on that promise? Just think of that for a moment. Just think of the fact that if Jesus were to say, okay, I'm going to invite you to heaven with me. I'm going to invite you to be my child forever. And then He were to say, sorry, it's not going to happen. Now, that would really be, I don't know what to say. It would certainly be disastrous. You know, faithfulness is God's character. God's character. And faithfulness is based upon the holiness of God. It's based on the sovereignty of God. It's based on the fact that our faith in Him is really based in who He is, not in who we are. A lot of people say, I have faith. I have faith. Well, I wonder what that means to that person sometimes. Well, we can have faith. We can have faith in things. We can have faith in money. We can have faith in pleasure. We can have faith in the way the world revolves. We can have faith in politicians. We can have faith in all kinds of things. But that's not faith in God, because faith in Him is eternal. And eternity is what it's all about. So it's a conviction about something, if you want to talk about it that way. I like Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 just for a moment. And it's a great passage of Scripture. I call it the Faith Hall of Fame. The Faith Hall of Fame. And, you know, if you really want to understand something about how people lived by faith, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, take a few moments and read through chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And the very first thing that the writer of Hebrews does is that he defines faith. What does he say faith is? He says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's, again, let me read it. It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then he goes on to say, he says, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen what was not made out of what was visible. Now, none of us were there back then. We believe, we have faith to understand the fact that God said something. God gives us how He created the earth and the heavens and everything back in Genesis. And we have faith to believe that this is how it actually happened. And then he goes on listing all these guys' names. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He would not be found because God had taken him away. And there's a picture there of a rapture taking place of Enoch. And then he says, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And he pleased God because he was a man of faith. And then this is what it says in verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. God gives you that faith. It's his gift to you. And you need to trust God for what he's done for you. It's a blessing to know, as a Christian this morning, I can come to God in faith. I can come through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for me that I might have eternal life. It's a blessing to know that when I approach God through Jesus Christ, that I can have all the resources of heaven itself. They're at my disposal when I call upon him, believing and trusting him. What a great blessing. So the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And I wish I had more time because what a great subject this is. And, you know, I'm sure I'll probably preach many more sermons on faith. But the one thing that kind of stands out to me that I was thinking about this week, I've been in ministry now for soon be 40 years, actually. I remember my first summer pastorate was in a little small fishing village in a place called Advocate Harbor, Nova Scotia. You go there in the summertime and it's buried in with fog. I mean, it's the fog capital of Atlantic Canada. And, I spent two summers there. The first summer, I remember going there and I had 14 funerals in 2.5 months. That was during my summer. I was burying everybody. They were dying to see me. And so, yeah, I know that's a bad one. I had never been to a funeral before. Never. And so I went to a congregational pastor in the community who had been there a long time, and they just brought Baptist pastors in during the summertime. God only was there in the summertime. It seemed the rest of the year, they didn't care whether they had a pastor or not, but it was just sort of an outpost. And the United Church pastor, he helped me through, gave me some hints and pointers and everything about how to conduct a funeral service. And he gave me a little book to follow. You should have seen me my first one. There were probably some folks that didn't know if it was a wedding or a funeral they were at. But it was interesting. Not only did I conduct the service, but I also dug the grave. And I got $50 for digging the grave. And, someone else buried the person, but I had the opportunity to dig the grave. I offered a full package deal. So it was kind of interesting. But, that summer and the next summer were two of the most amazing times that I ever had. Because I had grown so much in my faith and so much in my relationship with God, because my feet were right on the fire pretty well. It was something that I learned by doing. You can learn so much by going to seminary and going to school and going to college, Bible college, But you don't really learn it until you start doing it. And that was me. And God taught me some amazing lessons about walking by faith, about building my faith. I realized that if God was going to use me in the days ahead, that I would need to trust him fully and completely for what he wanted to do. And I believe that one of the things, the fruits of the Spirit, was faith, trusting God for not knowing what was ahead, trusting God for the curves and the obstacles and the issues, the problems, the good times, the bad times, and everything that came along. That's what God taught me the most. So character was built very quickly in my life in those two summers. Now I'm still learning and I'm still growing. And I realize that in my own life there are times when I'm not exhibiting the fruit of faithfulness as I should. I realize there are times when I really mess it up big time. But I know that God is there with me. I know that he's helping me. I know his Holy Spirit lives within me. I know that as I trust him, he will make a way. And he'll make it possible. Now, all of us have a different story. And that's what's so unique about the body of Christ. As believers, we all have our own faith journey stories as to how we've experienced faithfulness in our own lives. But you know, it all comes from the character of God. It all comes from God himself. And the more I study his word, the more I allow his word to saturate my mind and my thinking, the more I realize what a necessary ingredient this faithfulness is to whatever fruit salad I'm preparing. And how important that is. So, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And that's exhibited in many ways. Our faithfulness to God. Our faithfulness to one another. Faithfulness to the church. Our faithfulness to giving. Our faithfulness to our spouses. Our faithfulness to our families. Our faithfulness to the commitments that we are engaged in. God wants us to be faithful. I encourage you this morning to really ask him to help you to be more faithful and to be fruitful in this regard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning for your word. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit being faith, faithfulness. And we ask your forgiveness, Lord, for when we're not as faithful as we should. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be faithful in all good things. That Jesus would be supreme in our lives. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen.